Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mangum Talks TV. This is a reaction podcast. It's our reaction to the finale of season two of House of the Dragon. I'm your host, Lee. I'm joined by my co-host, Spencer, who, as you can see, if you're watching video on YouTube, appears to be on a boat. Spencer, how are you?
I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Cruise off the coast of Alaska, but I would not dare miss talking an episode of House of the Dragon with you and our listeners.
How fantastic. I'm in your neck of the woods. I'm down in Florida, so we're both traveling. We're making do, but we have to talk about the finale of season two. Of course, we both watched it live. We've hopped on here recording to talk about our feelings, Spencer, to talk about what we feel. How are we feeling about the finale? I'm going to start with you. We've watched it. It's been off for about 5 minutes. What'd you think?
There were some good scenes. There were some scenes that I'm mixed about how they're handling. But the ultimate conclusion I have and the feeling I have at the end of the episode was that it was the most almighty cock tease in the history of modern television, of where every assumption we had about there being some aspect of a climactic event, they chose to set up, display that they were in the process of occurring, and then push to next season. How do I feel about that? The episode was solid, but I cannot help feel a bit deflated that so much that could have occurred was, I don't want to say wasted, but instead dealt with scenes that felt unnecessary to build up to scenes that we're now not going to get till next season. So how do I feel? I thought it was a still well-written episode, but my emotional response to it at this point is kind of kerfluffled.
It was a good episode of television, bordering on great episode of television. It was a bad season finale. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
it was not. That is not the way I would end a season finale of a show that's only going to run for 3 or 4 seasons anyway. That takes 2 years to get out a new season. In the writer's room, I would have killed that idea. We are not going to go right up to the edge of 3 or 4 different plots and conflicts and then end it because it's going to deflate too much of the audience. Like I am a lifer for Westeros now.
100%.
Everybody knows this. I'm not going anywhere. But even I was like, wow, okay. Well, my enthusiasm has dropped significantly. Great episode of television, like really good scenes. The Daemon storyline, I got to give you a lot of credit. It ended almost exactly the way that you said you thought the Daemon storyline would end in season two. And I love the idea that only through letting go of his own personal ambition can he actually fulfill the destiny of being moving forward Viserys' goals, ambitions, like
yes.
being the person worthy of carrying forward that legacy. It's only through dropping his personal ambition, like the connection to the main series and the flashbacks at the Weirwood. That stuff is really good. And I think that's all basically stuff they're creating out of whole cloth. And I think it's fantastic. But to end the season this way, when you only have 8 episodes anyway, we've waited 2 years for the season. I think it's going to be met. I hope I'm wrong because I want the season. I want the show to be successful, but I think it will be met negatively.
Yeah, this had been a 10-episode season, and this episode had been episode 9, and we got that closing scene setting up all the things that are in motion going into the actual finale of episode 10. The hype would be off the charts, but as a closer to the season, is whatever hype this generates going to endure for 2 years? I don't think so. I also don't think it's necessarily going to generate that much hype when people are expecting some degree of actually culminative event, and they got them, but not the ones that they're now being effectively taunted with will come in the future. It was well written. It was good. I feel like almost everything that happened in Essos, though, could have been cut. Of where that felt almost like just an additional unnecessary costume drama that was being inserted into things. It was fine, but I kept on thinking while I was watching those scenes of, huh, that's like 12 minutes of this episode that I think could have been used for another purpose. Oh, well, I'm sure they've still got enough time.
Maybe the resolution of one of the like 4 storylines they have in flight, like something to end the season on. I'm sure they were thinking about that pretty epic season 6 ending of Dany with the ships, but you have to understand that a lot of other storylines in season 6 had sort of reached an arc. And you were also building toward the end of the series after 6 episodes or 6 seasons. And Dany simply setting sail at that point was a significant event. Like
100%.
Simply leaving that was epic, right? It wasn't, yes, it was preparatory in the sense that she was going to land and then, you know, do all these things, but we had been waiting six seasons for her to get on a fucking boat and she did it. Like, so it was exciting. So I don't think that's a necessarily a fair comparison for a show that's in its second season that has yet to give us any bit really, really big, you know, military moments, any real big fights, any real big battles, or any resolution to any of these constantly culminating storylines. I would have killed this idea. And I, cause this is clearly an idea for the writers to say, oh, they probably did something similar to what you and I did on the spoiler talk. Like, we've got these three or four things that we can do. Which one do we want to do? And someone had the idea, let's take them all right up to the end and not do any of them. And they were like, great, let's do that. I would have been a veto on that.
Let's instead check in with Cole and Gwen, which actually was a good scene, but not much happened necessarily. Let's have Raina wander starving and suffering from dehydration in the middle of the wilderness up until the point that she meets the dragon, and also tease what may happen with that one. Don't particularly like how they're handling that plot line, though again, it ended on another tease. Let's spend a lot of time with created out of whole cloth content of Lord Lannister, master of ships, trying to get his fleet in Essos. And then let's invent a wholly new plot for now to further make Alicent redeemed? How do we want to refer to her character that is trying to omit herself from the plot? It completes a very contemplative season. It completes a very season of focusing on character beats and emotional journeys and thematic exploration associated with those. And all of that is well written. I just don't fully understand how they chose to end the season from just a practical production standpoint.
It was bizarre, and you can imagine how I feel about the Alicent scene, Alicent coming to see her in Dragonstone, because you know how much I liked Rhaenyra going to see her in King's Landing. I thought that was just dumb. It seems like a lot of these sequences that they write as if they've got 60 episodes to tell this story.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's confusing because they gave us an 8-episode season. We know we're getting 1 to 2 more seasons. And when I keep saying 1 to 2, it's like they've said 2, but I've also heard that, like, they may cut, you know, season 4 to, like, be 3 or 4 episodes. So it's not – don't think of it as 20 more episodes, like, because I don't think you're getting 20 more episodes. You're getting somewhere between 10 and 20 more episodes. So it's confusing to me that you spend 11 minutes with Jason Lannister – meeting some general in Essos. It's bizarre to me that they even take the time for Alicent to come back over. I mean, I guess the idea is they're trying to insert into the Fire and Blood story an idea that there was more conversation between the Greens and the Blacks than is aware of, right? Like, that you didn't get Fire and Blood. So they're creating that as an explanatory for some of the events that occur. Okay, cool. But did they need to go 8 minutes? Did you need to have, which, by the way, a scene I counted, did you need to go over 30 seconds of no words being spoken after Rhaenyra said, I'm going to take Aegon's head, and then they just sat there completely
quiet? That was a long build.
For a really long amount of time. All of these things, you can sit down and craft an argument for why it was good, why it was necessary. But when you also at the end of the episode give no payoff for the season at all and only look ahead to something we're going to see maybe the middle of 2016 or 2026, I just don't know what this does to the fan base. Like, it's deflated me a little bit, obviously, in my review here, but I also am quite worried about the fandom. Ratings down across the board for this season compared to season one. I know they want to take their time and do this right, but, like, when you take so much time to get a season of television out, yeah, I mean, this is a world we live in where the attention span's not huge. Like, when you don't pay anything off and you say we're punting until 2026, hang tight, everybody. I'm a little concerned about that from a lot of different angles, not the least of which is the business angle.
Does it validate in your mind some of the commentary throughout the season of nothing is happening this season, if this is the beat that they're ending on?
It's partly why I'm so frustrated, because I feel like everyone who had that opinion is going to go see. And I mean, okay. I mean, I don't have a great argument back to him.
It's one of those things of where I don't agree with it. I don't. A lot happened this season. It was a there was a lot of dramatic beats, and there's just so many well-written and well-done scenes between characters. I can't ignore that. But I am left to ponder just when you have so many of these established beats in the story, so many of these established events, I don't think either you nor I could have bet that this season would, pardon this, accomplish so little when it comes to those story beats in terms of where the season would begin versus where it would wrap up. I would have lost money, and plainly did, in terms of our predictions about what events would occur, given which ones are going to occur. It's like, with the pace they're currently moving at, if they stretch this across the rest of the seasons, is this going to be a 10-season show? I don't know. at the rate that they're going at, in terms of going through the story, to be like book to show. Let's just talk about this real quick. Damon and Harrenhal. Would you have imagined that would have taken 8 episodes? I thought they were interesting in terms of what they did, but would you have imagined that they would draw out the process of him raising an army over the course of an entire season? Oops, sorry, PA announcement. I'm going to vote.
Had a little bit of technical difficulties there, so I'll splice these two together. But to answer your fundamental question, No, I would have no idea that it would take that long in Harrenhal. And to boot, really, the only thing we're talking about is raising the army. Nothing's happened with the army yet. So it's not even a resolution of the Harrenhal plot. It is he got to Harrenhal, he raised the army, which you would think would be done in a couple episodes. So yeah, it was a big surprise to me.
It's just decidedly odd. I mean, I will not fault this season for being well-written, for being well-structured, for being interestingly done, for exploring themes and character beats that I couldn't have imagined that they would have hit from the book. All of that was excellent. All that was entertaining. I just don't know what to make of what this means for the show going forward in terms of pacing, in terms of what time they think they have and how much they're going to do things. Otherwise, if this season is just a one-off, if this season's meant to be just build-up, which is an interesting choice, it reminds me of some of the negative comments I said about the Bear, maybe from this most recent season, does that mean that other seasons are not going to be paced this way and this is going to be straight-up action? Or is this more of what we can expect in terms of this kind of build-up and this pacing and this contemplative tone going forward for the rest of the show? In which case, four or five seasons feels optimistic.
I don't know that, you have your opinions about the Bear, I have my opinions about the Bear.
Of course.
I would like to point this out. That example is a good illustration to me of why House of the Dragon cannot tell a story this way long term. It's because people tune into the Bear for different reasons than they turn into House of the Dragon.
Yes.
People aren't tuning into the Bear like, I've gotta know the resolution of if Carmi gets this order for the beef corrects today. Like, they emotionally connect with the characters.
Yeah.
It's told in an artistic way, and they enjoy the witty dialogue. This show, though, is told about it's fantasy, so it's plot driven, and so much of it is people wanting to see resolution of plot. Yes, characters matter. They need to have characters that people understand, and they understand their motivations. But they're not tuning in to see 45-minute exposé on, you know, how Rhaenyra sees the world, in the same way that, like, if you cut to an episode of The Bear, you may get that in an episode, and the fans may like it. So you have to resolve some plot in this type of story, and that's why this season they did some things that made me think they were a bit over their skis with that element.
Yeah, it's an interesting series of choices. It feels kind of not what we've come to expect out of either House of the Dragon or Game of Thrones. I feel like in many ways that may judge some of the fan response of where I think it's pushing them beyond their comfort zone and pushing them beyond what they've been raised to expect. And it leaves us to ponder, is this now what we should expect? This is a very different season than we thought we were going to have going into. It's a very different season than we've experienced before. Is this now the norm, or is this season structured intentionally to be different? I'm not sure. If it is structured intentionally to be different, it gives us a certain degree of inability to expect or predict what each season is going to be going forward. Because this season was remarkably, in my mind, different than what season one of House of the Dragon was.
It was. I mean, House of the Dragon season one was flying through plot. I think And it's, you know, it's not just what people have come to expect with Game of Thrones in my mind. It's what people have come to expect with the fantasy genre.
Sure.
You know, you introduce a different world. You introduce, you know, this sort of society systemic problem, whatever that thing is, either mass scale war, or, you know, people fight, humanity fighting against something else, or, you know, whatever the sort of the vein that runs through all of the world. You introduce that plot element, and then you give me 100 characters and we work to resolve it. And that's typically what the genre is, at least in epic fantasy. So it's sort of surprising for them to want to go, you know what I want to do this episode is really get to, you know, Daemon's guilt about the series. And maybe we'll do it next episode in the weekend and the one after that too. Like, it's a little surprising.
And part of it as well is that the book is so much just concentrated plot. It isn't character actions. It isn't character interactions. It isn't that kind of drama. It's a history text. It is just the various series of beats of events that occur. And so that's how we know the story. That's the things that we're trained to look for and expect and anticipate in the coming episodes. So to see so few of those practically hit, to what degree then is your response just then a measure of expectations of where we have come to expect things as a result of the book and, you know, prior experience of House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, and then we're not getting those? Is that a fair criticism of the show, that it's not giving the things that we expect, but it's not necessarily promising? Or does the show in some ways, or has the show in some ways promised us those things and then is delaying a bit on fulfilling them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think even if you try to take out, like, I wish this had happened, I wish that had happened, and you just try to look at what the season was.
What occurred?
I'm still not sure that there's enough there to justify calling it a season of this story.
Yeah, it's a season. I feel like we're getting a season 3A and a season 3B is coming in 2 years. Or season 2A and a season 2B is coming in 2 years.
I'm left wondering, so the story out of the writing of this season was that they had 10 episodes, they sent them to Martin, he had heavy notes, they reduced it to 8, this is what we got. What the fuck were those notes? Was it like, was this Martin's idea? Like, what, where, because it would seem this is a show that desperately needs 2 more episodes for the season.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, if this was episode 8, God, we'd be excited for what the final 2 episodes would bring. There'd be so much they could accomplish there, because so much they could wrap up. Instead, those 2 episodes, I guess, are going to make for a hell of an exciting start to season 3.
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was pretty deflating. Let's talk about some things we liked. We talked about some things we didn't like. What did you like?
I enjoyed the tension and the interactions between the Dragon Seeds and Rhaenyra's court. I enjoyed the process of Jace coming to terms with the fact that he is the heir and needs to exert himself in that way, despite his dissatisfaction with events. I enjoyed the resolution of Daemon's plot in terms of the prophecy, in terms of his interactions with Rhaenyra and how that was handled. Thought all that was really well done and great. I liked, finally, we got a confrontation between Khoros and one of his bastards. That was a great scene. That actor that played Alan or Adam, I always confuse
Alan.
Them. He acted the pants off that scene in terms of the emotion he was bringing into his confrontation with his bastard father. I mean bastard in terms of he's an asshole father.
Yeah, he's
all of those were truly great and well-done scenes. I really liked the little scene. I mean, this is an example of what this show does so well, but just, you know, brief couple-minute scene between 2 characters. The scene of Gawain and Colwood are acting in the woods, God, that was well handled. God, those actors did well with that. And seeing the process of Cole, maybe the show is even effectively making Cole vaguely sympathetic in terms of him just going into straight nihilism, but I actually felt a certain measure of empathy and connection with him when he was going through the process of explaining that to Gawain. All of those were great for me. Did you have a few others or a few additional ones that you liked particularly well?
Yeah, nihilism was the word I was gonna use for Cole, and I also like that there's at least someone in the show that's exerting that.
Yes,
that's saying, "Hey, none of this matters as long as we have dragons around."
Yeah,
I feel like that is a natural evolution that would occur in this world. Like, I would expect to hear that opinion from someone
in a heartbeat. Yes,
and I also think it's necessary for where I think the story will ultimately go. So I'm glad that somebody's introduced that. I liked everything with Larrys and Aegon. Everything. I like all of that.
Oh, true. Forgot about that. That was good.
I like that there's someone basically coaching Aegon to live, who's telling him you need to live, and him going, here's all the things I got wrong with me, like in pretty difficult detail. He says, here's all the things that have happened. It's terrible.
Rough conversation, yeah.
And Larys is like, yeah, but you can still accomplish blah, 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 blah. And it's perfect to me that someone who has had a disability is able to give that framing to Aegon, and that Aegon ends it with Aegon the Realm's Delight. Why? Because it was Rhaenyra's name. She was always called the Realm's Delight. Growing up, that was something, that was a name that Viserys spurred people to say. He liked it. He advocated for that nickname for her. And we've seen that Aegon is apathetic. We've seen that Aegon has underachieved. But what we just got insight into is that before all of that, it seems he was jealous. Before all of that, he wished he had the same attention of the realm, of his father, of court, as Rhaenyra did. And that's why he settled on Realm's Delight. I'm sure he was, you know, a little high from the pain medicine. And so more truth got out there than maybe he was anticipating. But Larys probably understands a little bit more about him now. I like the idea that Aegon getting out of King's Landing was well thought out and didn't just happen in like 20 seconds. Aegon does get out of King's Landing in the book, and it's the way the book's written, you feel like, well, that just happened sort of spur of the moment, which is sort of hard to believe. I like that it was an orchestrated effort from a very talented person and able to get him out. I like the look of the wild dragon. They gave us a shot of Sheepstealer, and that is how a wild dragon should look. That is fantastic. They do such a good job of how the dragons look. Yeah, feral, but like still very much one of the – it just looks like a dragon that has been on – that has been out in the wild, that hasn't had
– it's not groomed.
Nobody's groomed it. Nobody's cleaned it. It's been sleeping, you know, out in the wild, and it just looks the worse for wear. And it also – its movements looked a lot more sort of wild and herky-jerky, and even its posture, the way it was standing and yelling. And I like the idea that Rhaena is only going to be successful with this dragon when she's at the end of her rope too. It's almost like a parallel swim lanes with what Hugh went through, where Hugh wasn't going to be successful with Vermithor until he was right at the end of his rope. And it seems like Rhaena likely is not going to – I'm guessing that Rhaena has some sort of interaction with Sheepstealer, and she needed to be at this particular place then. I like all that.
It was fun with that too, where I almost deemed that a further bit of taunting, but specifically directed at me. When she crested that hill and there was a decidedly black dragon hanging out down there below her, I was, you know, immediately for a half second thought, oh my God, they're making it cannibal. Then I realized, wait, it's way too small. Wait, no, that's just a dirty dragon that needs to be washed is what that dragon is.
Well, we know it's not cannibal because cannibal has 10 legs and is the size of, Essos, and also can speak, and you know, does calculus and computations,
and is actually the true writer of House of the Dragon. Hence, why it was House of the Dragon. The dragon's writing the book.
Cannibal Balerion actually didn't die. It's just cannibal. Balerion just left, retired, went out, and it's actually cannibal. Yeah, I liked the look of Sheepstealer, and if they're gonna go the route of Rhaena is the one that interacts with Sheepstealer, if that's what they want to do. I like how it was accomplished. I like everything with Ulf at court and Rhaenyra's frustration around that. I feel like it went on too long, but I like all of that. And I like, you know, I'll tweak one thing you said. You said Jace's frustration, Jace having to sort of find himself, you know, in moving forward in Rhaenyra's court. And I felt like it was also him having to address his underlying insecurities, right?
Yes,
because it's not just about, this issue that he's having is more about him feeling like he's not worthy to be the heir than anything else. And that's what Bela, it cut right to. I'm a little weary of Bela has all the answers like that. That's starting to get tropey to me. But
she's her grandmother.
She calls it out, right? She calls out that like the issue here is not that she allowed someone else to ride a dragon. And the issue isn't that you don't have the biggest or the baddest dragon. You never have. The issue is that you are not secure. You don't feel like you, Jace, just you, who you are, is worthy of being the heir, because you have this self-hating thing spurned by your parentage, which we just got to get rid of.
And the world's always sniped at him and been against him, and he's afraid that they're going to continue to do so, to which her point is, well, prove them the fuck wrong. Get out of your chair.
Right, but he's internalized that. You're right about where that's come from. Absolutely, that's where it's come from. But he's internalized it. He's allowed that to change his opinion of himself, or at least mold it and shape it over time, right? Maybe it always was that, but it's always been influenced by his knowledge about his parentage.
We've talked about some things we liked. Just ask then, what was your least favorite scene in the episode?
Alicent coming to Dragonstone.
I noticed you didn't list that on anything that we discussed previously. Alicent coming to Dragonstone is
terrible.
Can we just call this a change? Because I can't picture this happening in the book to any degree. I can't picture a lot of their interactions happening that they had in the show interacting in the book, but this one in particular. Is this going even more out on a limb for you than Rhaenyra going to the Sept and meeting with Alicent there?
It's slightly less out on a limb than that scene, because that scene, she had to pass by people. She was walking through the street. She had no security. It was still at a point when Alicent was very, very aggressive in wanting to win this war. Yeah. That was like the apex of the terrible scenes of this season, but this was right under it, because a lot of the same problems exist with that scene, except just maybe like tamped down a little bit, because there's just less people at Dragonstone, and there's probably a better chance that you can slip in and out of there. But you still have the problem of like Rhaenyra now, it feels like, all right, I'm right at the precipice here. Like, I feel like I'm winning.
Yeah.
Why on earth, if she wants to push the end of this war, why on earth did she just take Alicent prisoner? She could tell Alicent, look, I'm taking you prisoner. I'm never going to hurt you. Don't worry about that. But you're going to have to stay in a hotel room here for a couple days, because I'm going to leverage this. Like, there's I feel like it's relatively transparent that they want those two actors in a room together. And so they're pushing it. And to put them in a room together in two scenes that do not make sense for the plot for me.
I'll be curious to see also how the deal holds through for next season, where they explicitly set up that Aegon is out of the city. And part of the deal is that Alicent has to surrender the city and Aegon. I'll be curious to see if they have Rhaenyra take the city in the early part of next season. How is she going to, will she trust, will she believe Alicent that she had no role in terms of Aegon escaping? Stands to be seen. I think that could be interesting. I think the scenes they have of the characters interacting are good. I think the actors interact well. But I'm with you. The show seems determined to be hell or high water. They've got to interact at least three times each season. Don't necessarily care about the practicalities of how that should occur.
Yeah, I like that we got a little bit of insight into what Helaena is able to know as a dreamer. Like, I think that's pretty much show canon now, is she's a dreamer. Mm-hmm. And I think that we got a little bit of insight into what powers Alice Rivers has, and what she's able to use. And I think it's driven by the old magic, and it definitely comes from the weirwoods. Right. And it almost felt to me like a sort of, we're like a Lego, like we have the different parts of Bloodraven, and we're starting to pull them together now, like being a Targaryen dreamer and being able to leverage the old gods and being a Greenseer, like moving all that together. Feels like we're kind of setting up for that. I like that. I did not mind the shots that were clearly hearkening to the Game of Thrones story, the three eggs, Dany and the fire, all that, because As soon as episode one introduced that concept that the Targaryens were doing what they were doing because winter is coming, then they didn't
clear line through.
Really didn't need to introduce that and like let it go, right? And they haven't, and they've connected it to the main story. I think that worked for me. I could see, you know, maybe some people complain about that, but that worked for me. And I also liked that in the trailer for this episode, they had the line of Aemon going to Helaena and saying, I need you to mount Sunfire. We're going to war, or whatever the line was. And I remember seeing that and going,
Dreamfire.
Dreamfire. I hope this fucking does not occur. This is fucking terrible. This is so stupid.
You're okay there.
Yeah, and it was really like a misdirection, right? Because he says it, and nobody was ever taking it seriously. It was not close to happening. So thank goodness, because that would have been a massive departure from anything we know about that character.
I would swear that some of the scenes we saw in the trailer, though, were not in this episode. Like, I remember seeing a shot of Bela flying on a dragon and yelling at some point in that trailer that was not in this episode at any point.
Are you sure that that was the trailer for this episode or for the season?
Couldn't tell you for sure. It was the trailer that they were advertising for the finale, but, you know, how broadly did they choose to define what they wanted to depict?
Because I saw one today. I was sitting here watching a lot of the Olympics. I watched a lot of the Olympics today. And they showed that there was a, I think on NBC, but there was a commercial for House of the Dragon, and it was absolutely a full season thing, trying to catch everybody up, and then also saying, "Hey, look, we're doing the finale tonight." So, I don't know. Overall, my impression of this is fairly disappointed in the finale. They did some good things this season. It's nowhere near like Give Up territory, but my goodness, the decision to do no payoff, no culmination, no resolution on any storyline from season two. It's tough for people watching it week by week and who are going to be waiting for 2 years now for another season.
It's one of those interesting things of where I think this was a better season than season one. I think it did not have many of the flaws that season one did that you have discussed. I think it really avoided a lot of those. Ran into some issues itself, but I don't think anywhere near the same degree. I think its writing was continued to be solid, continued to be well executed. I think this was a better season of television than season one. But I exited season one with a head of steam that I don't right now have when it comes to just a successful finale. And we've talked about that. Endings matter. And I think this finale is a great penultimate episode rather than a finale.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to talk more about that when we do our finale, our full review of the finale, about if it was better than season one or not. I'm not sure I agree with that offhand, but I think I know the general point you're making, and I think it's definitely worthy of exploring. And I might change my mind when we talk about that. Both have some issues for sure, but right from jump, season two, it feels like the plotting, the pacing, and where they are choosing their marks in the plot is questionable on my end.
Perfectly fair and in need of a significantly longer discussion, which luckily enough, I think you and I might have in the future.
Yeah, we're going to have it sometime this week. Whenever you get off a boat and get back to mainland, we will sit and talk for a few hours on this, break down everything, go line by line through the script and try to get to, okay, what was going on in each of these scenes. And I'm sure that we will come up with more scenes that we liked and more scenes that we did not like as we do that full breakdown. I'm excited to do it with you, Spencer. Enjoy yourself on the high seas, sir. Be safe and have a grand time. And we will see you when you're back to discuss in detail the finale of season two of House of the Dragon. Hope everybody has a great start to your week. See you later.